Father in heaven, thank you for this message you laid in my heart. And now, Lord, I ask you that it will go and help everybody that needs help with this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have any of you ever had an answer to healing? If so, would you care to share about the situation? Have you ever had a healing take place? Any kind of healing? Yes. Anyone else? Yes. I was going to share it later, but since she brought it up, I'll just expound a little more on that. They put a port in to give her chemo. And the thought of chemo just shook me to the bone. And I told the Lord, there must be another way. There must be another way. And so he sent us to John Hopkins. And there was another way, hormone therapy. It was experimental, but they had some good results with it. And they got on the phone with Dr. Patel, who's a cancer doctor in Seals Grove, who gives chemo. They decided that the best route would be the hormone therapy, since COVID was at its peak at the time. And if she would take chemo, her body would have no way of fighting anything. And so it worked. So sometimes God brings healing in many different forms and ways. As I was raised, I only knew of one. We hold out till he heals us. And that's why I want to talk about healing. If it involves just you personally, you may have that option. But if you're a father and you have a wife and children, I don't think you have that option. That option's no longer on the table for you. I have known of families, and it saddens me. They held out for God's healing, and end up the child died. Did the child get a healing? Yeah, we know he got a healing, but could have it been different? Sometimes you don't receive a healing. Maybe perhaps you feel that you didn't have enough faith. You ever think about that? I'm sure some have. I want to try to do something to help you better understand healing and its context of healing. So I just simply labeled it healing. We're going to look at an Old Testament. We're going to look at the life of Christ and the apostles. Our confusion many times, I think, is caused by the sadness we feel when someone doesn't recover. I understand that. And so probably do you. We pray and we pray and we sit by our loved one and we hope to see them better. We hope them see recover and we only see them get worse. It's actually God's way of preparing them to leave this world. They refuse to eat. It's hard for us to see them not eat. It's hard for us to see them go in another direction. And And so we begin to ask ourselves, did we have enough faith that it was just God getting them ready to go to heaven? That's what it was. Sometimes it involves perhaps our unbelief in God's ability. First of all, I want you to understand something. God created everything, and with God, there's nothing impossible. Nothing. Now, whether God chooses or not to do that, that's something of a different nature. We know that all those who came to Jesus were healed. You can't find any place in Scripture where he refused any. I don't know of any. All that came to him were healed. Maybe perhaps there's some things that we just don't know, the teaching on this subject. Sometimes there's false claims of healing, certainly also help in our misunderstanding of healing. Some of the things we see on TV, I just shake my head. It's no wonder we have people thinking about Christianity the way they do. I've seen some real spectacles on TV. And I can tell you this, I'll say it like my grandfather said, they can put anything on that box they want. He called the TV the box. He lived to be 106, he'd say. They put anything on there. He never did believe man ever went to the moon. It was on TV, said they could put anything on that box. Pappy, they went to the moon. Did you see him? No. How you convince somebody that they were on the moon? How do you know? How do we all know whether a man's been on the moon? Really? Hello? I think away some of the older folks think. How do you prove it to them? It's not a big deal. I stopped trying to prove it to them. Wasn't that important to me anyway. Maybe that's why so many people respond to sickness by going to the doctor right away. It doesn't mean going to the doctor certainly isn't essential. Why do you suppose God gave us doctors? Dr. Luke. Why do you suppose Luke was a doctor and God used Luke? One fellow said that he always thought that medical science and doctors were just expensive guessers. Maybe some of that's true. I don't know. But I certainly believe that they spent a lot of time in study. And I believe that we should use their help when it's possible. There's nothing wrong with that. Seek their help whenever possible. Since our Lord is the great physician, why do we always seem to go to him as our last resort? If he's the great physician, why don't we seek him to begin with first? Give our Lord the chance to do what he is good at. And then you need God's wisdom to know when to go see a medical doctor. You need God's wisdom. I don't know when to tell you that. I know that for some things, situations can only get worse the longer you prolong. Example, my son that had heart murmurs. If we would have prolonged much longer, we wouldn't have him with us. He'd be in heaven today. There's just some things you can't prolong. You must be adamant. So trust the Lord, but ask God's wisdom to help you, know when to make a decision to do otherwise. It's certainly not a lack of faith. It's doing what God sends you to do. God sent us to the right place, to the right people. And I praise him for it. He's been good to us. God is still in the healing business. He does it according to his will and his timing. When the Lord delays, it's because he's focused on something that is far more important than a healthy body. His goal is to help us to learn and to listen. And you know, sickness has a way of grabbing our attention, doesn't it? Sickness has a way of grabbing our attention. Sometimes God uses that to get your attention. Sometimes when there's only one way to look is sometimes when you're on your back and you have only one way to look. And sometimes God's got to put you on your back so you can know which direction to look. He uses sickness like that. We know from the scripture that the Lord never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you listening to me? I don't care what those theologians might want to try to tell you that there are no such thing as miracles today, but I can tell you they are deadly wrong. There are miracles. I've read a book on my just recently on angels and miracles, and I can tell you it's a whole book compiled of things that it's beyond trying to figure it out. Doctors don't have an answer. They just know that God intervened. They just know it. God intervened. God is still showing himself God. He's still God. He does what he wishes and desires. He is to be glorified and honored and praised because he's God. He can do anything. And so when I approach him, I say, Lord, I know you can fix it. I know you can heal me. But I also want you to have your will in my life. I want you to do whatever you want me to do. If you want me to go to the hospital, that's all right. Because you know, when I get there, I won't keep my mouth shut. I'll tell them of your wonderful power and your glory. No matter where you send me, I'll talk about you. And so it's okay. Give God permission to do as he wills, as he wants to in your life. He wants to use you. He still wants to tell people that he's the Son of God. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. His purposes and ways always are consistent throughout the Bible. As we go to the Old Testament and our Lord's ministry and the apostles and healing, I want to give you a better understanding of how God is willing to intervene in all of our struggles in life. The first mention of our Lord's healing in the Old Testament is found in Genesis chapter 20, verses 17 and 18. He answered Abraham's prayer and he healed Abimelech's household. And many years later, when Abraham's descendants became a nation, God promised to remove the sickness from their midst if they would serve him. That was the condition in the book of Exodus 23 and 25. If they would serve him. And from that point, their wellness depended on their obedience to the Lord. When they rebelled, God disciplined them with illness. In Psalms 106, 13 and 15, I'll be giving you many of these scripture references. We won't have time to go and read them all, but I will give them to you if you'd like to copy them down. Whenever they cried out to him, he sent his word and he healed them, Psalms 107, verse 20. And they were restored when they believed and took note of his precious word that's powerful. His word is powerful. In Isaiah 53 and 5, God told his people about the healing that would come through our Messiah's atonement for sin. And there we read, by his stripes, we are healed. I saw that stone in Israel, where there would have been a wooden post put in that stone where there was a hole. There was a wooden post, and our Lord was tied there. They wouldn't have had to tie him. He took those stripes freely. But they tied him. That was the way the Romans did. And they scourged him. That was the way they did it. I will scourge him, and then I will release him unto you. But it was a Roman thing to do, is to scourge him and then have him released. And there he received 39 stripes, 39 whips. His body, his back was just flayed open. There was bits and pieces of bone that was fastened to pieces, to leather straps. And as those sharp pieces of bone ripped through his back, is how he received his stripes. We're told there's 39 major diseases. He received 39 stripes. Isn't it interesting today? He received a stripe for every one of our diseases. Yes, he was whipped. He was scourged. This promise is ours because of his sacrifice. But it doesn't guarantee that the Lord's going to restore our health every time we ask. Now, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. But be sure that you ask. How many times have your children asked you for things that you didn't always respond to? But they weren't afraid to ask, were they? They asked, but you didn't always respond to what they asked for. Why is that? As parents, you obviously thought it probably wouldn't be good for them at this time to let them have that. Wouldn't be good. Our Heavenly Father is the same way. We ask, but he doesn't always give us what we want. But he gives us what we need, not always what we want. I'd rather have what I need than what I want. How about you? I'd rather have what I need than what I want. The biggest accomplishment of the cross was the healing of our separation from him because of sin. That was the biggest healing, our separation from him. He wanted to fellowship with us. It was his desire to fellowship with us. And that's what he wanted to do. And so we go to, and there's many more places we can go in the Old Testament. There's so many more. But that was just the first place we found where God's healing took place in Genesis. Now we'd go to the Lord's ministry. Jesus came primarily to die for our sins. That was the major part of his ministry. But his ministry involved the healing of the sick. Wherever he taught, wherever he traveled, he was stopped by people that were sick. People had needs. There were so many people sick. So many people had needs. And wherever he went, they brought their needs and they wanted him to help us. Help us, Lord. You can do it. You can touch us. And he did. He did. You see, that wasn't the main purpose of his ministry. That wasn't the main purpose. Crowds of people came and formed around him. Wherever he went, crowds went with him. He took time to heal many of them in Matthew chapter 14, 34 through 36. He took time. He stopped in the middle of his teaching to bring healing. So there's many other things that I want to help you to understand today about our Lord's ministry. I want to talk about his purpose. His love for mankind was what took him to the cross. It was the primary reason. His healing was just one of the other benefits of going to the cross. So many came to him and so many of them were healed. He wanted them to serve him. He wanted them to believe in him. That was the purpose of his healing. That was the purpose to show that he was able to heal, that they could believe and know that indeed he was the Messiah. He was the Christ. Why do you suppose the devil hates miracles today? Why do you suppose that liberal churches don't want to talk about miracles today? There's even liberal churches that don't even believe or preach that he was the divine Son of God. Isn't it a shame that they've approached and have the same belief as the heathens do? Is it any wonder our church is losing its effect in the nations today, in the world today? The world's gotten churchy and the church has got worldly. What a shame. Everything got switched around. They call evil good and good evil. His purpose was to come to the cross for our sins. His priority was always upon the heart. When the paralytic was lowered through the roof, instead of immediately healing him, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," Mark 2:5. You see, the Lord dwelt with his soul before restoring his body. He said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." You see, the Lord, that's more important, that your soul's fixed before your body is, because you're going to get a new body anyway. But he's more interested in your soul than your body. His present activity, as he ascended to the Father, he is still healing people from heaven. Today, there's astonishing recoveries that doctors cannot explain. I read the book, and so should you. It's really encouraging. Doctors can't explain it. The Lord is still answering prayers about health issues. He has never stopped performing miracles. He's still performing miracles. You don't need to call the pastor if you're in need of healing. You call upon God right there yourself, right away. When Jesus was crucified, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, making access for you to go to him. Access. You have access to him. You don't need to go through a priest or a father. You have access. You can boldly come to the throne of grace in time of need, the scripture says. You can. Call upon him. When you need healing, call upon him. Lord, I need healing. I need a touch. Please. But you want me to do something else, that's okay too. But ask him. Lord, you're the great physician. You can heal him. Despite all his power, Jesus didn't heal every sick person in Israel. Now, all those that came to him, he did. But there were still some sick people in Israel that didn't get healed. The point I'm making. Not all of them got healed. There were still some sick in Israel. When he visited his hometown, he couldn't perform many miracles there. Why? Anybody know? His hometown. This is Jesus. This is Joseph's son. This is Joseph's and Mary's son. You claim to be a healer. You claim to be the Son of God. We saw you grow up. And you're claiming to be the Son of God? This is Joseph and Mary's son. Bible says he couldn't do any healing. Very few. Says he didn't do very many. Because of their unbelief. It's Joseph's boy. We saw him grow up. Can you imagine he claims to be the Son of God? Because of unbelief. Matthew 13 and 58. And like them, we live in a society that doubts our Lord's ability to heal. Like I told you, there's so many churches even now don't believe he can heal. Hello? No wonder they don't get any healings, because they don't believe it. Sad, isn't it? Many of the Bible says there will be there that they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. That's what the Bible says it'll be like in the last days. They'll have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Pretty good description. And so we go to the apostles' role in healing. After the ascension, the apostles carried on our Lord's work. Curing people was part of their witness. When Peter and John met the lame beggar at the temple, they both encouraged him to believe that Christ could do the impossible, and he did. You can find that recorded in Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. We have the Apostle Paul's life, who also did a lot of teaching, a great deal about how and why God can restore us. Paul's experience with healing. Why was Paul? Who was Paul sent to? What was Paul's goal? Why did God call Paul? What was God's purpose? To go to the Gentiles. You know that Peter was also involved in part of that. That was part of the vision that Peter received when he was in Joppa. The blanket came down of unclean animals, and the Lord said, "What I have made clean, don't you call unclean, Peter." Those Gentiles need to know me as Christ and Savior too. And that was the purpose of the vision that the Lord gave Peter. And then the Apostle Paul God sent to the Gentiles. We're all Gentiles here today. Aren't you glad for salvation was extended to the Gentiles? We wouldn't be sitting here if that were the case. We are Gentiles. Adopted. We are adopted. Gentiles. And so the Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Paul was called by God primarily to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul's writings were guided that we might understand what God has to say about spiritual gifts and healings, remember? He wrote about that. The Lord has gifted some believers, the Bible says in Corinthians, with faith to pray for the restoration of others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 9. Intercessors can't heal anyone. Only God can do it. The Lord answers the prayers and he gives gift of health to those who are sick. And then we have Paul's experience with illness. Being an apostle didn't guarantee that his prayers would be answered, then would they? What happened to Paul? Anybody remember? He was given a thorn in the flesh. Do you remember how many times he prayed for to have it removed? 3 times he prayed to have it removed. Paul's prayers for wellness were usually always answered. There was a point in his travels he had left a sick friend in another city. 2 Timothy 4:20. Now I wonder why he didn't get healed. Well, it's just by what it says. He was sick and he left him in another city. In 2 Timothy 4:20. He struggled with his own health issues. Luke was a physician and accompanied him. In 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 10, we see that Luke had accompanied him. And Paul described his situation as a thorn in the flesh. Despite the many times that he entreated the Lord and he prayed, God didn't heal him. But he did explain the reason for his illness. It was to keep Paul from exalting himself. You see, Paul was a very learned man. He was very smart. He was trained in the strictest of Phariseeism. He knew it all. In fact, he knew so much that God said, "It's time for to give you a thorn in the flesh to keep you humble." Much learning. God seen it was necessary to keep Paul humble. He could use Paul better if he was humble. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul when he would pray for people for healing? And we don't know what his thorn in the flesh was, but can you imagine if he'd come up to you and he wanted to lay hands on you so he could heal you? Can you imagine how he must have felt? You're going to lay hands on me? Somebody should lay them on you, Paul. You see how humble it must have kept him. God's amazing. God's powerful, and he knows what he has to do to keep people humble. He kept Paul humble. Kept him from exalting himself. But you know what God did promise him? What did God promise him? He wouldn't heal him, but he promised, what else did he promise Paul? That his what? His grace would be sufficient. My grace, Paul, will be sufficient for you. You be sufficient with it, Paul. He gave the apostle the strength to endure hardships and also that he would be content with his situation. You see, sometimes God calls us upon us to be content. We pray in that, God, I want you to change this situation. God wants me to be content with it. When I'm trying to get rid of it, God's telling me, no, no, I want you to learn to be content with it. I can remove it, but I want you to learn something through it. That's why I'm allowing this to come into your life. I want you to learn something through it. What causes an oyster to make a pearl? Irritation. Who wants that word? Who likes to be irritated? Not me. Sand in the shell of an oyster causes irritation. The irritation is what produces the what? The pearl. What irritation are you suffering in your life? What's your irritation today? God causing an irritation in your life today? It's because he's producing a pearl. He's producing a pearl. Learn to be content with it. Lord, I don't like it. I know. But my grace is sufficient. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I ask the team to come now at this time. I have our anointing service. Whenever you experience sickness, your first thought should be to ask the Lord how he wants you to respond. He might tell you to trust him for healing or lead you to get medical help. Paul did both. He sought healing from the Lord and he trusted God's choice for his life. He relied on his friend Luke's aid in times of suffering. Our goal should be God conscious and realize the one who saved us is walking with you through every illness. He will direct your steps if you will set your mind on him. With that, we're going to open up the altar as our group sings.